Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Oh, not a whole lot. Another great day. Got another great workout in. It's a great Monday. You know, a lot of people don't like Mondays, but you know what? I like Mondays because here's how I look at Monday. It's a chance to start fresh. You know, week just ended. The week might not have ended how you wanted it to end. You know, Monday is a great day to start anew. It's a great day to start a workout program. It's a great way to start a eating program. It's a great way to make changes. It's basically, you can look at Monday as a smooth start for stuff. And that's how I look at Monday. It's a way to get the week off going in the direction you want it to get going. So, you know, Monday, another great Monday, and it's not just a Monday, Troy. It's a victory Monday at that, too. So another reason why it's a good Monday. You know, now the Packers win wasn't the prettiest at all yesterday. Their 27-23 win definitely was not the prettiest, and it definitely left them with a lot of areas they need to work on to improve. Now, I'm usually not one, Troy, to pat myself on the back or to toot my own horn. However, I remember saying on this show, also to some friends of mine and people I knew, that this Jacksonville game was going to be a very tough game, very tough matchup for Green Bay. I remember saying that it was not going to be a guaranteed victory. It would be a very tough game for Green Bay to come out with a win. I never said they would lose, but I said I wouldn't be surprised if Jacksonville pulled off the upset. You know, people called me crazy. People called me stupid. People called me saying, you know, people said I didn't know what I was talking about. And not normally one to pat myself on the back, but I will say this. I told you so. For those that called me crazy, stupid, and said I didn't know what I was talking about, saying the Packers and Jacksonville would be a very tough matchup, very tough game. So, with that, throw it over to you, Troy. How are things going on Western PA tonight? A big win by the Steelers tonight, crushing Washington, and Big Ben and Antonio Brown. Great game between the two of them.
Yeah, it was. I watched that game, and I'll tell you what, the Steelers' offense looks really good. I know Le'Veon Bell is going to be coming back, and I think when they signed D'Angelo Williams, and I know this is a Packer show, but the game is fresh. I do live out here. I had told everyone that D'Angelo Williams signing is going to be a good one. This is a guy that came in, Evan, over 100 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. Then you add Antonio Brown. And they've got this new slot receiver, Eli Rogers, this young kid. And he looked pretty good tonight, too. The offense for the Steelers looked like it was in mid-season form. They did a lot of good things. Now, I want to put it this way. I'm not going to anoint them to the Super Bowl. It was the Washington Redskins. And if you remember, Evan, we talked about all the hype that was going on with Washington and kind of our NFL preview show. I haven't bought into the Washington Redskins hype, nor will I. And tonight, you watched this game. They gave Kirk Cousins $20 million in the franchise tag, Evan. He didn't play like a $20 million quarterback tonight. He has got a lot of work to do because, honestly, that Steelers defense, the Redskins made that defense look better than what it really was tonight. There are a lot of holes on that defense, and I'm not being a Steeler hater. They won the game, but it's only the Redskins. But it was a big win. The offense looked really good. But, again, I never bought into the Washington Redskin hype that everybody else is buying into. I don't know where it came from. But Washington is not really that good. They're an average to maybe an above-average team. But it was a good win. They did what they had to do, and, you know, I know people out here are very excited about it. So, you know, you keep rolling with it, and you never apologize for a win. So let's talk Green Bay Packers, though, Evan. As you said, and we talked about it last week, no gimme going down to Jacksonville. It's going to be hot. And at times, 113 degrees on the field, Evan. And the Packers had to sweat this one out until the last drive. And I put in the preview, defensively bent at times, bent a little bit more. But at the end of the game, they came up with a big stop. Randall came up with a big stop. And if you go back to right after the two-minute warning, the Packers could have sealed that game had it not been for a hold on Morgan Burnett. But it was nice to see that they were getting the opportunities. So let's start defensively, Evan. This is a team in Jacksonville with a good young quarterback in Bortles. T.J. Yeldon, Chris Ivory went to the hospital, didn't play. Yeldon came in. Then they got the Allen twins, that's what I call them, the Allen twins with Burns and Robinson on the outside. And they got pretty decent tight end play. So it's an offense that is only improving and getting better. And Bortles went out, and he's just taking this all in stride by the reins and getting better with this offense week in and week out. But I'm going to tell you where I was impressed, Evan, with this defense was on third down. And I know that they converted a few fourth downs, 3 out of 4. Luckily, they didn't convert the last one. But the Packer defense, Evan, on third down, held the Jaguars, I believe, I don't have the number in front of me, I think 26% on third down, under 2 yards per rush. T.J. Yeldon's a pretty good back, not a great back. But whenever you hold the opponent under 2 yards a rush, that's a pretty good effort as a unit. So those are a couple of the bright spots that I like, third down and rushing. They did a really good job bottling up the run at times, trying to make Jacksonville one-dimensional. And, Evan, we've talked about it many times on our show, that if you can make a team one-dimensional, it makes playing defense a little bit easier. So what were your overall thoughts of this defense?
Well, for the defense, did have some concern. You know, Rollins didn't have the best of game out there. He was getting burned pretty well. Morgan Burnett didn't play the best of game. Clinton Dix, again, didn't have the best of game. And the Packers still have a huge hole right in the middle of their defense. Now, Blake Martinez should get better with play. Morgan Burnett and Clinton Dix are going to play better in the future. They're not going to play like they did, you know, in this game the whole year. You know, Joe Thomas I was very impressed with overall. He showed a lot. Jake Ryan is okay. Demarius Randall played a great game. Clay Matthews was active early, but he disappeared at times. And my biggest pet peeve about Clay Matthews, I like Clay Matthews, but he comes in with his hair on fire too often. He does it too often. You know, there's at least he had, I believe, 2 missed tackles, and both of the missed tackles, if he would have came blowing into the backfield under control, he would have made the tackle. But he doesn't. He goes off the edge, out of control, overruns the ball carrier, and the ball carrier one of the times ended up getting stopped in the backfield anyway, fortunately, but they could have got him for a bigger loss, and the other one, the ball carrier got a couple yards. But that's my biggest problem with Matthews. He needs to read a little bit before reacting. See where the ball is. Locate the ball and go get it. Don't overrun the play. And like I said, that's my biggest problem at times with Clay Matthews. But overall, the defense, I think, did pretty well. You know, you mentioned they held Yeldon to just 39 yards on 21 carries. For the most part, other than a 22-yard touchdown catch, he had 5 catches for 64 yards. Other than that touchdown, it was kind of a quiet day for Julius Thomas, the big athletic tight end out of the Jaguars signed at the end of this is his second year in Jacksonville. He got out of Denver. And then Hearns and Robinson both had 75 and 72 yards respectively. They did a pretty decent job on them. So defensively, Packers did okay. But my concern is on fourth down, up until the final fourth down play where they turned the ball over on Dallas and was able to take a knee, the Packers could not get Jacksonville off the field on fourth down. And you do got to tip your hat to the Packers' secondary getting an interception early in the game to set up the Packers' first touchdown of the game, an Aaron Rodgers' touchdown run. And the missed tackles and broken tackles is a big concern as well. And Sam Shields in the concussion protocol, fourth concussion that he's had, so that's very concerning. With how many concussions Sam Shields has had throughout his career. He's in the concussion protocol, but if I was a betting man, he will not be playing Sunday. I think the Packers will be without Sam Shields Sunday when they take on the Vikings. So, go back to you. What are your takeaways on the special team? Because the special teams, and I want to throw it there because they had a new punter. Schwalm had four punts for 42.5 yards, yard average along with 56. I think the punting game could have been a little better for Green Bay. He only gave up one return for 14 yards, but that one return was ugly for the Packers' punt coverage unit. So where would you grade the special teams for Green Bay? You know, Crosby nailed the two field goals, no problems with the holds, no problem with the long snaps. Just like, I'm a little concerned with punt coverage overall. Like I said, as that 14-yard return for me was very concerning.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put it in two areas. I can give you an overall grade, which would probably be a C to C plus. Overall, punting, D, field goal kicking, I guess I can go with a B plus. I said I had a concern. I wanted to see how the long snapping, the holding, I wanted to see how all the mechanics of the field goal and extra point worked. And knock on wood, 1 week, but it looked okay. That was my biggest concern, was Crosby losing his holder. Different long snapper coming in, a guy that had experience, but I wanted to make sure. You know, it's been a while since live game situations. You don't know when you put the pressure on. So field goal, extra point units, good. I liked it. Punting, it's going to be another crappy year, Evan. I don't look at average. I could care less if he had a 62-yard average. He needs hang time, and the punt coverage team needs to get better. You know, I look at the Jacksonville punt return team, nothing that's blazing and eye-catching, and the guy had one return for 14 yards. Now, again, I don't follow Jacksonville all that much, but, it's not a scary punt return unit. But if this guy, this Shum guy, cannot improve his hang time, Evan, it's going to make coverage that much more difficult every game. And that's my concern. I don't care about average because you can get away with a lower average if you hang the ball in the air and let your return team get down there to cover the kick. The old adage is you can outkick your coverage, and by no means did he outkick the coverage. He just didn't punt well. And so I'm still scratching my head with this whole punter thing. Why can't the Green Bay Packers get a good punter? I don't know. I look at all these other teams, and these guys I've never heard of that are punting very well. And we cut our punter to pick this punter up. So I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. And so I'm not going to put all the blame on the return on the coverage team, because the punter has a lot to do that with hang time. You know, and I go back, and, you know, maybe people remember Craig Heinrich. I liked him as a punter. He didn't have a booming leg, but he had a boom, get the ball up, hang time leg, and that helps your punt return team. So that's all I have to say. What do you have to add about, you know, that aspect of the game with the hang time, and how did you think the new punter did?
Well, I think he did decent. Hang time, yeah, could be better. I think he did decent. He definitely has room for improvement. And I don't know how effective Janice is going to be as a gunner with that cast on. I don't know how effective he's going to be. You know, Abadaras, he was the other gunner, and, you know, he got knocked down on the 14-yard return. He got knocked down. But other than that, you know, I think it's going to get better over as the year goes on. I'm not looking for the Packers. I don't think the Packers will lose a game, per se, because of the punting crew. But, you know, you look what Jacksonville's punter did, Norton. Two punts, long at 67, both inside the 20. And both times inside the 20, the ball was down at the 3-yard line. Now, I know it was helped with the bounce because Micah Hyde lost it in the sun. But still, two booming punts. But switching to the Packers offense. You know, it was great seeing Jordy Nelson back on the field. He didn't have any huge game-breaking catches, but he had 6 catches for 32 yards and a touchdown. He had a decent game. I'll give him that much. He had a decent game. Devontae Adams, 3 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown, long at 29. And that touchdown was right before halftime, and that was both an amazing throw by Aaron Rodgers and an amazing catch by Devontae Adams. And it's played like that is why Devontae Adams is still on the team. Yes, he had 2 passes to him earlier in the game that he probably should have caught. But overall, that touchdown catch is the reason he's still on this team. Cobb had a pretty efficient game. The only thing I didn't like about the offense, you know, though the offensive line played pretty well. The only thing I didn't like about the offense was the fact that they had the ball late in the game at, I think it was at the 2-yard line, and they couldn't punch it in, or maybe it was the 1-yard line. They had 4 chances to punch it in, and they had to set a 4 field goal. I think that was Crosby's 20-yard field goal. If they score a touchdown there instead of kicking a field goal, then Jacksonville doesn't have a chance to win it at the end there. But they couldn't pump it. They couldn't get it in, and that was a problem with the Packers last year, was red zone scoring touchdowns once they get in the red zone, especially inside the 5-yard line. And I don't understand. You got a big back in Eddie Lacy. I think they ran him once. You got Richard Rodgers, who's got really good hands, especially in the red zone, and you got your new target in Jared Cook. You know, why couldn't you punch the ball in? Offensive line protected really well. Rodgers was able to scramble a little bit, and by time, wide receivers got open. And overall, I give the offense a passing grade. Just a few things that I didn't really like a whole lot. Like I said, a lot of that was trying to score when you have the ball inside the 2-yard line. You got to leave with touchdowns there. You can't afford to. Cut away with field goal, because that's one thing that down the road caused them a win. So what are your thoughts on the offense?
Yeah, effective offense, Evan. It'll get better. You know, I think you look at the overall scope of things, and the biggest thing is no turnovers. That was the biggest thing. I would like to, you know, Everyone looks and says, well, you know, you got to rush the ball. I thought it was a pretty balanced attack by Mike McCarthy. The problem is, like you, down in the red zone, it's week one, so I'm not going to get critical. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to bite my tongue. But they need to get aggressive with the weapons that they have. They got Jordy Nelson back. You got Eddie Lacy and James Starks. I think, you know, you got to develop, we've talked about this, You've got to develop Richard Rodgers into that dominant big guy because he's got the hands, he's got the size. Make him a red zone threat. Figure out some plays that are going to work to utilize his skill in the red zone because that's a huge target, and they've got weapons. And now I was listening to the press conference, Evan, on that play when it was third and goal, and they gave it to Starks. And I was actually listening to the announcers. Had the line actually communicated well and Rodgers took the blame? And it's not often that I hear Rodgers taking the blame, Evan. But the miscommunication there, offensive line thought it was a pass. Rodgers may have audibled and wanted the run. The announcer said, had that went into a run block, it probably would have been a walk-in touchdown. So the miscommunication there, a little bit concerning. I just want them to get more aggressive, though. And I want them to really take some shots and develop guys because I think they have the personnel to be able to do that. But it comes down to packages and how you're going to utilize it. But overall, I thought it was an effective day. I mean, the stat line for Rodgers, mediocre to average, 199 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Average day for you know, Aaron Rodgers. Eddie Lacy had that one big run, Evan, that really helped his average. But overall, I think the run game needs to improve a little bit, you know, a little more consistency there. But I like the balance attack. And, again, I think it'll get better over time. But seeing Jordy Nelson come back, that was good. Devontae Adams got involved. Like you said, Randall Cobb. I would like the tight ends to get involved more. I thought this would have been a great game for Cook to try and get him on the field and get him involved in this Packer offense. But he only had one catch for 7 yards. And we thought this would be a guy that could utilize the middle of the field, Evan, and maybe – you know, take the safety away from the outside. And maybe they didn't want to show every, but I didn't see a lot of it. So I'd really like them to try and utilize Cook a little bit more. But at the end of the day, a win is a win. The offense did enough. Like you said, if they could have punched that in instead of kicking a field goal, that's the nail in the coffin. So there's areas of improvement. But for game one, I'm not going to sit here and rip the Packers apart. I thought they did what they had to do. I like that they converted 50% of their third downs. That is a number that if they can, you know, I doubt they're going to run the year at 50%, but it was nice to be able to move the chains. So that's my overall assessment in week one, Evan.
Yeah, and, you know, win's a win. That's what matters. Now, before we go, just want to mention one thing. Pro Football Talk, and I don't know how accurate it is, but article came out today that apparently there was concern that Josh Sitton could possibly become a locker room cancer. That was basically the reason why they let him go. You know, he wasn't the top person for a contract extension, and they were worried that he could cause problems and rifts in the locker room. Here's basically a gist from it. You know, according to Pete Daltrey from the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Packers were concerned that the All-Pro guard was disgruntled by not being a priority for a contract extension, and that once he found that out there in camp, they are fostering a poisonous atmosphere. Overly, Sitton seemed to be a grumbler, but sources said he could also be brash and highly opinionated and sometimes openly disparage personnel moves, coaching decisions, and his teammates' abilities around team facilities. This concern seemed to be that his attitude was rubbing off on younger, which contributed to the decision. So some sense is starting to be made out of the Josh Sitton move. And if there is any truth to this, I don't mind the move now. I don't really mind it a whole lot. You got a guy who is 30, has had a bad back, it seems, like the last 2 or 3 years, and he's possibly becoming an issue in the locker room. Like I said, if it is true, I have no problem with them letting him go I just wish they would have traded him away instead of just cutting him. So I'm going to throw it to you to give your final thoughts on that, and then I'll let our listeners go.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. Locker room cancers can tear a team apart. And when you're making a run, a legitimate run, at the playoffs for the eighth straight year in a Super Bowl run, you have to have a united front. Now, you can't have somebody that it's all about me, all about me. And, you know, that's the way that the locker room needs to be. Divided locker rooms do not win championships. You know, you don't have to be best of buddies. But when there's one negative person, that boils over to another person and it takes away the mental preparation and the ability to do your work. I mean, people listening in, think about your normal job that you go to. How many people do you hear complaining? And when they complain, how many other people are listening? How many more people are going to that circle, Evan? People can be persuaded, both good and bad. And so I'm okay with that. If that's the reason. Like you said, I wish they would have been able to trade and get something in return for him. But I would imagine when Ted Thompson, because apparently there was an article I had read through, or nobody wanted to trade, and I'm sure a GM's asking Thompson, why do you want to trade this all pro guard? And, you know, I'm sure Ted Thompson's not going to sugarcoat it. One is the contract. We're not going to be able to give him the long contract he wants at the end of the year. But I'm sure those conversations come up, and these people are well-educated. And if it was because, well, he's a locker room cancer, that probably shut the door on a lot of trade talks. No team wants to bring in bad cancer. So that's, you know, I look at it that way. It is what it is. You know, we don't have a lot of time to get into the individual play. I think the offensive line definitely needs some improvement. But, you know, they held their own, good and bad, you know, some mistakes. And hopefully as they play together over time, they stay healthy and they can, you know, be very strong as a unit. So we'll see as we move forward to week two. It's going to be a big game in week two, and we'll definitely discuss that later in the week. But what else do you got before we let the listeners go, bud?
I got nothing else. We can let the listeners go.
All right. So hope you enjoy the show tonight, everyone. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.